We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
I had to go to the threshing floor many times and had some. I have to declare them to be awesome experiences, but they weren't awesome in the terms of beautiful, but they were awesome in the term of victorious moments on the prayer floor. And the Lord began to birth this word out. And I have to be able tonight to really teach it, because every time you say the word Jezebel, people get a whole big misunderstanding. Now I have to help you understand. So I'm coming in two forms this trip. I'm coming in the office of a prophet and a mother. So probably since the last time you've seen me, I used to just say, you know, there are people that I'm training, but the Lord has confirmed to me many times over in prayer that I have now been elevated to the ability and the status of a mother in Zion, a mother in the spirit. And so not only am I coming to just bring instructions, but I'm going to impart before I leave here. So you can't put the cart before the horse, okay? You got to do it in order, or you'll get touched, but you won't be changed. And I keep telling y'all I'm getting older now, so I ain't got time to be touching people. You got to get changed. Amen, somebody. Bring me my glasses out of my purse. It says here that the Lord became angry in the book that I wrote. There's a chapter in there called The Seduction of Jezebel. And I have to go with this. The reason why the Lord brings correction, many of you may have heard me say it on TV, but I'll say it again. The reason why the Lord brings correction and instruction, the reason why the Lord chastises us, he chastises us because page 126 says that Titus 1:1 says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of a special messenger of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to stimulate and promote the faith of God's chosen ones, and to lead them on to accurate discernment and recognition of an acquaintance with the truth, which belong to and harmonizes with and tends to godliness. So the reason why we are to be instructed as children and challenged as children, so that we can be stimulated and promoted, and so that our discernment can increase, so that we're not looking at stuff calling it God when it's the devil. So we may have accurate discernment. What does accurate discernment do? It brings about a harmonizing. That's powerful. I love that. It brings about a harmonizing, which tends to godliness. What does that mean? That means that everything that happens in my life, when I am properly corrected, when I get the right kind of whooping, then it stimulates my discernment to the point that I can look at that situation and I don't care how it redresses itself, I still recognize that spirit. Because when I got corrected, my discernment was increased to the point that I know the demon. I don't care how it tries to camouflage itself and look different. And so what that does is it harmonizes my spirit with the will of God. Whoo, I'm teaching already. It harmonizes me with the will of God. It's the harmonization is the same thing as when you have a choir and son, just lay your hands on the keys. I don't want nothing. I just want you to just lay your hand flat. Okay, that's a sound. That is a sound of a person that does not and cannot handle rebuke. That is the sound of a bastard child. But when you are corrected in the spirit, now give me a nice chord. It harmonizes, which means one key don't clash with the other. And it brings about a sweet sound in the spirit. Are you hearing that? And now watch this. Now what does harmonizing do? Harmonizing tends to my godliness. That means it babysits me. It keeps me from doing wrong. It watches over me. My discernment causes me to know what was right and what is wrong. Somebody say a rebuked and a corrected child. But see, something happens. Now watch this. Something happens, and just follow me on this. Something happened when the word said that, and God became angry with Ahab because people say that the Lord was angry with him because he married Jezebel. But the depth that God wants me to show you tonight is that evil do not start with an event. Evil starts with a legacy. Woo, okay, I'm gonna have to work in here tonight. Get your pad and pencil out, because we're gonna write some stuff. Evil don't start with, okay, let me just say this to you. Now see, there's a difference between a person that makes a mistake in their walk with God and they have an incident and then they repent for that incident. But when you find people who are constantly having the same incidents, God, I love you tonight. When you find people that every time God get them out of one thing, they back in something else. When you find people that cannot hold on to their righteousness and cannot hold on to their godly walk, that is not a person who is making a mistake. That is a person who needs to recognize that evil is their lineage, which means they got to go back in their generation and find out, why am I doing this thing over and over and over again? And so the church, instead of us progressing, we're babysitting. Nobody gonna talk to me too many times right here, cause you know we can't. I'm not talking about one or two, cause you got one or two people in the church that's really powerful and just love God and you can trust their spirit. But God is not, he doesn't call the church just one or two. If he ever touched your life and brought you to the altar and saved you, you are a part of the body of Christ. So therefore, it is time for you to stop fumbling and bumbling and find out. Go to the root of the matter. We keep trying to treat the symptom. But God said, it's not the symptom. It's not the kiss. It's not the fornication. Well, it's deeper than that. So now we're preaching on clothes and makeup, and you know Jezebel is clothes and Jezebel is makeup, and Jezebel is honey, she the woman that's after the pastor. And that's been the whole deception of the body of Christ, because we think Jezebel is one woman in the church. us building the kingdom, we turn all of our attention to Sister Watermill. Soon as church turned out, this is intercessors talking now. Did you see what she had on? Now you know that was a demon at work. Did you see how long she was in pastor's face? Honey, that's a hot mess right there. You know she, honey, we gonna pray on her. I'm gonna help you with something. We're gonna pray her out of our church. We're gonna pray that God get rid of her. We're gonna pray that the Lord deliver the church. Well then, let's find out what made the Lord angry. Let's look at this couple and let's look at them real close, because I have some problems with the description or the opinions of Ahab. Because people say all the time, Ahab was a jellyback. He just, honey, he let Jezebel come in there and just take over. That's a whole lot of preachers like Ahab, just letting their wives just, you know. And we done turned this thing into a husband-wife thing. A first lady pastor battle. And so the Bible says, now watch this. Let's look at the history of the couple. Let's look at the history of the couple. We're going to find out tonight that Ahab and Jezebel was a divine connection. They belong together. Okay, let's go back and look at this. Let's go back and look at this. First thing I want to recognize is that Jeroboam, go to 1 Kings 12 and 8, and we right there. You already there, say amen. I just got to turn my Bible there. 1 Kings 12 and 8. Now, y'all stay with me. Stay with me now. Stay with me. We're going somewhere for real. For real. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord split the kingdom, gave 10 tribes of the kingdom to Jeroboam, kept one of the tribes. Solomon had to maintain a tribe because God had to honor his word to David, that the legacy of the kingdom would stay in the hands of David's lineage, because Christ had to come through that lineage. But a percentage of that kingdom was also divided to Rehoboam. Now, why does that make any sense to us today about Jeroboam? Because, watch this. Watch this. I want you to see this. I want you to see. Jeroboam, after having the kingdom of God, what did he do? He got in competition. Now, here is a man that's got 10 tribes, and Rehoboam got one tribe. But the people that was with Rehoboam, they realized, according to the 12th chapter, they said, okay, wait a minute. Jeroboam, they over there and they clowning. Which one of us is going to reap the inheritance of David? Because we're looking for our spiritual inheritance. We've been promised that God has a covenant with us. So when Jeroboam heard that he had 10 tribes, Catherine, you know what he said? He got in competition and built two calves, two golden calves. And so what he said is, I'm going to build something that's going to excite them. Because this was his words. If those people ever get into the presence of God, if they make it to Jerusalem, get back to the temple, I'm going to be in trouble. The scripture said, if they make it back to the altar of God, then God is going to catch a hold to their hearts. Oh, and when God gets a hold to a heart, it can be three people in your church, but he'll use three people to take a nation. Okay, I'm not hearing nobody to talk to me. I'm not hearing y'all talk, because I'm helping somebody right now. I'm helping some ministries right now who looking cross town at somebody else that, well, they got a bigger church and we ain't hardly got none, and they got this and they got that, but you don't value what you really got. Because they may have something bigger and they may have something better, but it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Okay, I said I wasn't going to strike out preaching like that. And so you bypass your treasure trying to get calves like your neighbor. Whoa, I'm talking to all of us tonight. God then gave you a prayer ministry. The power of God, the precious flow of the Spirit have called you and chosen you to be an intercessor at 12 o'clock at night. But you're trying to get up here and preach because, oh, she getting all the glory. Oh, pastor always call her name. Oh, she gets to stand up here with the mic. But you know what? You're ignoring the part that God gave you. And with this, the Lord began to challenge me also. Because, see, we want to be way up the road and round the corner. And the Lord said, you know what? Not only have I called you to do something, but you got to wait on my timing. And sometimes, let me just give this little prophetic word before I go back to teaching. Sometimes the Lord will allow obstacles to get in your way because you're moving in the wrong direction. Now, why do I bring up this story about Jeroboam? Because you know what? said that when he got ready to consult with the Lord, God sent him. Listen, it said God sent him to the older elders who his father had counseled with. And he said, should we go do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? They said, no, don't do that. But the Bible said he left the old counsel and the wisdom of God and went and found his friends that he grew up with. And he asked them, what should we do? But what he didn't realize, his friends is his age. They don't have the wisdom to see up the road and around the corner. They gave him bad counsel. You got a destiny. Woo! Let me step down here on you for a minute. God's got something locked up in your life, and it is on a time schedule. And you letting some chump that's your age in the spirit, that they ain't been in church long as you have, tell you what God is saying? No, you ain't been in God long enough to tell me what God is saying. You haven't been around long enough. Show me your stripes. Tell me your testimony. Tell me where you've been. Tell me how you know God. You can't lead me to a water if you've never had nothing to drink yourself. You can't help me build my ministry with nice flyers and all of the cosmetics that the church has to offer, and you're leaving out the main ingredients. You're leaving out my soul. Ooh, I'm preaching hard right now.
Well, Prophet Spiney, you know, I just love my church, and I just love the pastor.
Let me tell you something. If you're under a leadership that can only give you the good, and something in your belly does not jump to righteousness, then you're in the wrong place. I'm going to show you something in a minute that's gonna really bless you. Because I'm going to show you that this is not my opinion. Let me show you the legacy here. You ready for it, brother? Ham. How many remember Ham? Raise your hand if you remember Ham. If you don't remember Ham, I got to tell you who Ham is. How many of y'all remember Ham? Okay, now let me lead you down the line here. Ham uncovered his father's nakedness in Genesis 9. Okay, you following? Y'all remember that? When Noah got drunk in the tent and his sons went in and the one son got his covering and backed into the tent so that he wouldn't see his father's nakedness. The other one wanted to see his father's nakedness. And let me just say this to you. And there are some commentaries that suggest that he had a homosexual desire for his father, because it wasn't that big of a deal to see your father naked. It's the way he looked up on him. Okay, now I'm going to show you something right there. Because what happened right there is the spirit of perversion was lurking. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Then Ham's oldest son, say Ham's oldest son, was Cush. Watch this. The pagans, meaning people outside the church, the pagans, gave Cush a name. And they called Cush Bel, B-E-L. They called him Bel. Follow this. Bel meaning the confounder. Bel meaning he was known as the god of confusion. Somebody said, well then who is that? Well, who is Cush? Who is Bel? Okay, he founded Babylon. You ain't got it yet, right? Bel, B-E-L or B-A-A-L, it suggests confusion is brewing somewhere. Cush had a son named Nimrod. Nimrod, watch this, ensnared men with his words and incited them. Nimrod incited them to rebel against God. Nimrod, watch this, Nimrod, his first quest, he was considered as a warrior. His first quest was Babel. Nimrod was the one who made the decision that we're gonna build us a temple to God, and we're gonna all get together and just build it to the sky. And as it got high, when the Lord looked down and saw what he was doing, God said this, oh, you're gonna come this high in my kingdom without a relationship with me? I don't think so. I don't hear nobody saying nothing right there. I don't hear, you can't touch a neighbor and say, you can't build a ministry without a relationship with God. Nimrod provoked that. He said, we don't need no relationship with God. We just gonna keep building.
Watch this. And the Bible said, and God confused all the languages. Okay, it's getting ready to get heavy right now. And God confused the language. That's already heavy. That's already heavy to me right there. That's already heavy. And God confused the language. Sometimes you don't understand why people that you have been walking with, all of a sudden, y'all just start hitting a bump in the road. And God confuses the language. Sometimes you don't understand why people leave your church, because God confuses the language. Sometimes you don't understand why people that used to be your prayer partners, all of a sudden, they turn on you, because there's something in that that has gotten perverted. So God confuses the language. I said, I'm preaching hard. You know why he confused the language? Because, let me help you with something. That's why you got to bind the devil. When the devil said, you ain't nothing, you can't make it, you so weak, you so dead. The reason why God has to allow confusion to hit it, because in you, you have the power to be great. You have the power to build something great. But God said, I got to keep on pulling your spirit, because if I don't watch you, you will build something great, and I won't be a part of it. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why I love this man. Because I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing worse than seeing a person that built something great and got a great ministry and got everybody blowing you up about how awesome you are and how powerful you are. But the real believers, they recognize you ain't anointed. You got a whole lot of stuff, but you ain't got enough power. I'm not here nobody. Y'all act like y'all scared to say amen. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. I'm going to start over by pastor because that's the only, he'll say amen. See, watch this. Because when the Nimrod spirit jump you, it becomes a good idea, but it ain't a God idea. Woo! I don't hear nobody saying nothing. I don't hear nobody talking to me. And that's why the Holy Ghost said, let you get halfway through with it and can't finish it. He'll let you get your book almost finished and can't find nobody to publish it. I'm talking to somebody right now. He'll let you get all the paperwork to open up your Dunkin' Donuts and the whole thing fall through. You don't hear what I'm saying? Because God said, you ain't got no relationship with me. You don't talk to me in the morning, noon, and night. You haven't got before me to be purged in the spirit. I'm not getting ready to let you prosper. It's getting ugly. This thing ain't no joke. When Nimrod took it upon himself, because watch, you know that legacy, Ham, Cush, legacy, evil perversion transferred into him by his forefathers. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I ain't getting nobody to talk to me, but it's okay, because I know this the word right here. Nimrod start trying to build a temple to God without God. God confused that. See, whenever God halts perversion in a person, what's perversion? Doing something the wrong way, trying to take the wrong way and make it be right. And so when that didn't work, Nimrod jumped over the fence. His spiritual lineage began to increase because it had not conquered its greatest feat. So Nimrod married his mama. Nimrod married his mama, Semiramis. And they were known in paganism as Isis and Orsis. Now come on. Just hold on. Tell your neighbor to hold on. When they got married, this introduced into paganism the spirit of worship of Baal. Because now, let me help you, nothing can be worshipped unless there is a full manifestation of that spirit. The reason why God had to step out on nothing and speak everything in existence and call water water and land land and fish fish and all of that, because there had to be a manifestation of his Godhead, of his Godness, in order to get a people to say, I worship God. Before Nimrod and his mama, there was no manifestation for anybody to say, I worship Baal. When Nimrod married his mama, it birthed out the spirit of perversion. Do I have somebody praying with me? Because I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this. Because this gonna open up a whole nother level in your mind about what we're doing. Now, watch this. He worshiped. It brought about the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth. I'm going to break it down. It was the work. What is this?
What is this, Pastor? What is the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth? This Baal spirit is a worship of self-will and self-want. I'm going to say that one more time. It is a spirit of self-will and self-want. So when you find people that are not doing the will of God, when they come to church, they are not worshiping God. They have been seduced by the spirit of Baal, and they are in idol worship. You know, this, I just want to just tell you, this ain't cookies and cornflakes. This is that meat stuff. I can't come down. Listen. For the last 20 years, you all have seduced us to keep preaching step by step. Come on, live right. Come on, get it right. Come on. And we have not been able to go on to the mysteries of the revelation of the word, because we can't keep you saved a week. But then God began to talk to me as a prophet. He said, but what are you going to do about the people who are living right? What are you going to do about the people who are ready for the next level? What are you going to do about the people who do walk in consecration? You've got to begin to preach a word for the mature Christian. There's some folk in here that's walking upright. Where you at? There's some folk that's done sold out to God. Where you at? There's some people that's ready for the revelation of the word. Where you at? And I'm here to prophesy, you can no longer be held hostage in the pew, because I feel something here tonight. I feel something here tonight. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. A lot of what I'm preaching, a lot of y'all in here, you may not know all the right terms, but you know what I'm confirming to you tonight? You ain't crazy. You ain't crazy. Uh-huh. You ain't crazy. Uh-huh. You felt it, and God was trying to show it to you, but you didn't know. You thought, if I share this with somebody, they'll think I'm crazy. You ain't crazy. People in the church speaking in tongues. You ain't crazy. When you sit next to somebody, they ha da da da, and in your spirit, you said, there ain't no real tongue. Something about that. Y'all gonna make me just go off in here tonight. I don't know where y'all go to church at. But see, you know what? And it's a shame, because you see some of those same people up in leadership position, and they hallelujah, and you say, I don't know what it is, but something ain't right about her. I sense it, I see it, I know it. I may not have a license, I may not be a preacher, I may not be an evangelist, but I am an intercessor, and I'm clean, and I'm righteous, and because of that, my Father reveals all things to me. He shows me. I just wish I can get a church to shout right there, because, I see, because I just said I just want to get the church. I just wish I can get a church to shout. I ain't got but a few people. So see, I know who I'm preaching to for the rest of the night. Because I'm telling you, listen, you ought to be so full in your spirit right now. You ought to be to the point that you've been waiting for the call of the prophet to come, that you ought to be overwhelmed in praise. How can you sit there with your legs crossed? You know why? Because that demon in you know that I'm about to hit something with your name on it. Oh. Y'all sit down, because y'all know I ain't scared. Y'all sit down, because I ain't scared. Woo! Shabba-baba. My God. Okay, wait. Okay, I got to break this down. I'm gonna leave my notes for a minute. I'm gonna break it down to you down here real quick. Baal was a male spirit. Let's get this, because it's all going to tie in together in a minute. It's going to mean something to you. Asherah was a statue of the female counterpart of Baal. Asherah was a statue that was formed after the spirit Ashtaroth. Tell you the difference. What is the difference between Baal? Baal is a spirit. You don't think I went through warfare for this one? Yes, I did. Because the devil don't want you to know this. He wants to keep on shouting, hey, and not know him. It's time to know him. Baal is a territorial spirit. Baal, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. You go to San Francisco. They say, San Francisco, the city just reeking with homosexuality. Baal is the spirit that goes into regions. And whatever is the dominating sin, that's what the city is known for. Whatever is the dominating spirit in a church that is foul before God, that's what the church is known for. Like you got some churches that say, honey, ain't nothing but a lot of sissies over there. Veil.